I'm going to talk about our processing sweet corn research program at the University of Delaware. This is work research done by myself and my colleague Emily Ernest, and most of what I'm going to present today is some of her work on populations. This is Delmarva. We are surrounded by the Delaware Bay and the Atlantic Ocean to the east, and the Chesapeake Bay to the west, so it's a moderating influence as far as climate. We're coastal plain soils, mostly a lot of sandy soils. Processing sweet corn is, we're one of the two institutions in the Northeast that does a lot of processing sweet corn work, the other being Cornell. So we have three processors that we work with, Friel's, Hanover Foods, and Seabrook. We have in our state about 5,000 to 7,000 acres of production. And one of the trends has been an increase in the use of super sweets for processing. The old standard sweet corn varieties are no longer being used by the processors. So they're planting super sweets early, which is an issue as far as possibly stand reduction. So that's one of the things we wanted to look at is, if you do get stand loss, what kind of effect is that going to have on your productivity? So these are their questions. How much does stand reduction reduce yield? Are some varieties better at compensating for stand loss? And then they had this whole question of gaps. All right, we have a reduced stand, but it's not an even reduced stand. So if I have a lot of gaps in the field, what do we do? And some of the things that I was asked and what I was working on specifically was tillage practices. A lot of interest, again, in no-till. Are there systems that might work for particularly spring planting? And then are our nitrogen recommendations correct? There was a lot of question that we don't have a high enough or a recommendation for real high-yielding processing sweet corn. So I'll just briefly mention some of the work I was doing and then get into Emily's work. No-till has been done successfully, usually for later plantings. We are looking at what could be done for those April plantings or first plantings. Can we do a no-till program there? We also looked at vertical tillage using vertical tillage tool as a minimum tillage practice. So what we concentrated on was the idea of using a forage radish as a winter kill cover crop. In theory, this should winter kill in January and then leave a bare ground that should be able to no-till into for crops. This works very well for peas. We also wanted to look at it at sweet corn. One of the issues we have had with forage radish is on some years it doesn't winter kill. So we had a couple mild years, and then that becomes a mess, because you have to go in and herbicide it a couple times, which kind of defeats the purpose of using a winter kill cover crop. But anyway, on those years where the forage radish did winter kill, we saw no difference when we no-tilled sweet corn in April into that. So no difference in the number of ears, no difference in cut weight or in tons per acre. So that's encouraging. We've had a couple of harsh winters in a row where we had good winter kill, but that is going to be an issue if we do get warm winters where the forage radish does not winter kill. As far as nitrogen and processing sweet corn, I did four studies over 3 years on this, and both spring and late and summer plantings. And then we looked at some populations. And I'll just show you a little bit of that work. Here we looked at three different populations on sweet corn from 24,000, 28,000, 32,000 plants per acre. Again, English units, this is what our growers are using. Rates of nitrogen from 150 to 225 pounds per acre of nitrogen. And what I want you to see here is, take the red bars as an example. There was really no difference in yield. There was no significant difference in yield with the different nitrogen rates on any of the populations. However, there was a population effect. And we'll see this in Emily's work. There are some varieties now that really perform well at high populations. We did see, though, under high yield conditions that we did not maximize our yield until we got up to 200 pounds per acre of nitrogen. This, again, leads us to the idea that in high yield environments, and here we're looking at over 10 tons per acre of corn, sweet corn, we had a really just ideal year for growing sweet corn where we have these high yields. Under those conditions, we need to add some more nitrogen. Getting into Emily's work with populations, the study, she did 2 years of studies where they used a randomized complete block design with four replications. The plots were three rows per 50 feet. They planted at high populations and thinned, and then harvested the center row. Yield, with processing sweet corn, you have two types of yield. You have the unhusked yield, that's what the grower gets paid for, and then you have the cut yield, that's what the processor wants. So we do both. And then do air characteristics, percent moisture. So it is a little bit more detailed process to do processing sweet corn yield trials than with a fresh market. The populations that were looked at was 120% of our standard, which is this around 24,000 plants, then the standard planting, and then 80, 60, and 40% reductions or stands percent of stand. So we've got some very interesting information from this work. There was a population effect where we did see a decrease in unhusk yield, so that's what the grower gets paid for. But the thing I want you to notice, as far as the processor goes, you could drop down to 60% of stand and still get the same cut corn yield. That's because in a processing sweet corn, we can take that second ear that's produced, as long as it's big enough, it can be cut, and you can get yield off of it. So plants were compensating by producing a second year ear that could be, on some of the varieties, that could be harvested and cut. So this is by variety. You can see Overland and Protégé are our standard varieties. Looking at Protégé, on the unhusk yield, there was really no difference until you got down to drop down below 60% of stand. So if we reduce the stand down to 60%, we're still getting the same yield. So it was compensating very well. But the one I want you to look at is this GS2259P. We are definitely seeing a linear drop in yield with that variety. So, and also, it did not, our standard population was not the highest yield. So this variety can be planted at much higher populations, and we've done some work with it apart from that I showed you previously, where really you don't optimize this variety until you get above 28,000 plants per acre. So again, showing the big variety difference, so this goes for the processors, they're going to really need to know their varieties. We have information on the two standards that really you do not see a reduction in yield until you get down to 60% stand loss. Cut kernel yield, very interesting. Overland, really no difference across all, even if you decrease the stand down to 40% of standard. Same thing with the Super Sweet Jubilee, this 1453. Protégé dropped down once you get below 60% of stand, but you still see this linear response with a 2259. And why is this occurring? Because plants are producing bigger ears and they're producing more ears. And unlike fresh market sweet corn, that second ear, if it can, if it's big enough, you can cut the kernels off of it. Then, of course, the processor said, well, okay, we don't have even stand reduction, so we want you to do a gap study. By the way, doing gap studies are a pain in the neck, all right? Emily did this, and God bless her for doing it. You will not see this very commonly done. But anyway, we gave it a shot, and she got some very good and very interesting information here that really helped. So we had evenly thin stands, stand reduction, and then we thinned either to 80% of stand or 60% of stand, but with different gaps, either one plant gap, a two plant gap, a four plant gap, or eight plant gap to get that 80% or 60% stand reduction. So We did see, and we used two varieties. We used that variety that had the linear response, that numbered variety, and then we used Overland, which is our standard variety that was not as responsive to stand reduction. So as far as population goes, we did see effects on cut corn yield and unhusked yield, but you notice that gap did not have an effect. So let's look at that. So these are, you see the different gap treatments here, either small gaps to large gaps. When we have 80% of stand, we saw no difference whatsoever. We saw a drop in yield when we dropped down to 60% population, but again, there was no effect on gap till you got to these 8 plant gaps. And we did this both early and late studies, and we saw similar trends in the late study. So looking at our logistic regression, you can see that there were variety effects. The two varieties behaved differently. That's to be expected. There was a population effect. As we lowered the population, we had a reduced yields. But the thing that you need to see here is that gaps had no effect whatsoever. So and were not significant. So in essence, what this gave us information is saying that it's really not the gap that's the issue, it's the total population. So in conclusion, certain processing sweet corn varieties can compensate for stand reduction to 60% of standard population. So that's good information for processors. That means that if you have one of these early planted fields that has a stand reduction, that they don't have to go in and replant, which screws up everything as far as scheduling. They lose a field that would have gone into the plant. So very good news for processors that it helps them make that decision or whether or not to keep a field. So our recommendations now are, unless you're seeing more than 60% stand reduction on these are the varieties that aren't responsive, the Overland and the Protégés, then you do not need to go in and replant. So stand loss results in less yield loss in terms of cut corn. So the processor's gain on this is now the growers do lose a little bit because there is some reduction in tonnage. So growers are going to get paid a little less because they're going to lose some tonnage, but the processors are not going to lose any cut corn. But we have some varieties that respond differently to stand reduction. Some compensate much better than others. And so this is where, as they introduce some of these newer varieties that are really designed to be planted at higher populations, we're going to have to reevaluate them as far as what stand that we'll have to reevaluate those, and those are the ones that where you, if you do have some spring losses in stand, you're going to suffer some reduction in yield. So that means that we're still going to have to continue to look at some of these newer varieties as they are introduced to see if they fit that profile. And gap size did not have a significant effect on yield, so they don't need to worry about the gap when they go to evaluate a field. They just need to worry about the population. So population density alone could be used to predict yield of field with reduced stand. Some of our crew doing the work, a lot of everybody here except for Abby still works with us in the summer. And then I'd like to acknowledge SCW Friel is the processor that provided most of the support for this work, as well as the Delaware Department of Agriculture through a specialty crop block grant, Syngenta, and our Ag Experiment Station.